How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Prison is often described as a place to rehabilitate. Many advocates say it does the opposite, and it creates a cycle that's hard to break. Case in point, in Illinois, close to 40% of people who leave prison return within 3 years. Lawndale Christian Legal Center is trying to put an end to that pattern by keeping young men on probation out of prison. 20 men between ages 18 and 25 will have a chance to live in stable housing and get employment and legal support at the organization's newly renovated headquarters. We talked about that with Frederick Dennis, who went through the pilot program in 2015. He now works at Lawndale Christian Legal Center. We were also joined by Cliff Nellis. He's the CEO and founder of Lawndale Christian Legal Center. And Cliff began with why this focus on men on probation.
Most of the people we've represented over the last 15 years are young men under 26 years old. Arrest rates in Chicago are about 86% male and 14% female. So the people we've served for the last 15 years fall in that same demographic range. Mm-hmm. So that's just to say most of the people that we've represented and worked with over the last 15 years are young men.
Yeah.
And so it made sense to start there. We didn't want to start with a co-ed facility. We wanted to kind of reduce different kind of risks and start out small and do it well.
Yeah. When you were sort of assessing the needs of these people out on probation, what stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, right away, it was young men like Frederick who had shared right away that, you know, hey, Cliff, I need a job. I need a safe house. I need, you know, mental health not always readily, self-identified as a need. But I think as our young people mature and grow and start to understand triggers and some of the trauma they've experienced growing up, they start to see the value of mental health as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny that you say not usually self-identified. Is that something that normally would have to come from your assessment and your nudging?
Yeah, I think nudging is a good word. It's kind of a conversation over time that starts to help our young people see that some of the experiences they had in their childhood were very traumatic. And those things, mental health therapists know, but
yes.
You cope the way that we cope as children and in our adult life. Sometimes those aren't the best ways of coping. Yeah.
Take me back, Frederick. Tell me your story.
Well, my story started off in North Lawndale, born and raised. My mom was addicted to heroin.
Okay.
I had a stepfather that was abusive to me, my brothers, and my mother. So growing up, I always wanted a different life. You know, I always wanted like a High School Musical life, a Disney Channel life. When we watch TV shows like this, we've seen that, you know, these kids had supportive families.
Yeah.
They had great friends and they went to great schools. I didn't have that. A lot of the times I had to, you know, steal clothes, steal food, out of like grocery stores just to get by.
You felt like that was a necessity even at that young age?
Yeah, that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we just didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went to school with hand-me-down clothes. We would get talked about because, you know, we didn't have the newest stuff, so we would have problems at school. And just coming home and having to deal with problems at home, kind of like started all the problems.
Probably seemed never-ending at that time, right?
Yeah.
Like it was coming from all angles.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And so what was happening at home and then what you felt like you needed to do, that trickled into your behavior.
Yes.
Right? and got you into some trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. And so how did you make your way to the Lawndale Christian Legal Center?
So by the time I was 12, I kind of found boxing. And that's kind of like helped me get away from a lot of the things that I was dealing with.
Boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So when I found boxing, you know, I made different friends. You know, I got away from a lot of stuff that I was dealing with at home. I ended up going off to National Silver Gloves, and I became ranked fourth in the United States at 14.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was great, but I didn't know how good being fourth was. So that became my downfall, where I stopped boxing. I fell out of love with the sport, and I walked away from it. Started gang banging, started drinking, started smoking, and that's what basically led me to meeting Cliff and to meeting LCLC.
Yeah, downward spiral again, right?
Yes.
How, Cliff, did you get Frederick involved in that pilot program? Because I can't imagine that he was immediately open to something like this.
Yeah, I mean, he was in custody pending trial on the charges that I was representing him on. And he was looking at prison time. And so it was a lengthy negotiation with the state's attorney's office and the judge presiding over the case to basically pitch this as an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly how old you were, Frederick, but I want to say 19, 20 perhaps at the time. And, you know, he was looking at 4 to 15 years, and given the charges, it would have more likely been around 8. And in fact, other people with those same charges did 8. And so, but what we basically said those to the judge is like, hey, you know, Frederick's, we gave it what's called a mitigation package. It's a lengthy social history about everything a judge and state's attorney would want to know about Frederick and his childhood and his upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was a lot of sympathetic, you know, details to that. He grew up he had a tough situation.
Yeah.
And anybody with any heart and soul would readily recognize that he grew up kind of surviving and making things happen on his own, which, you know, no child can do that. So it's a recipe for what happens.
Right.
And so, you know, we basically pitched that, hey, you know, he could do 8 years in IDOC, he's going to come home, right? Or he could come to this, what we called the MAC house. It was the pilot for the Deer Center program, where you have a safe place to lay your head at night, right? Like for Frederick, his first time he had his own room, right? His own bed. And we helped pay for rent, utilities, food, so that they could go into workforce development trainings that were unpaid but necessary to get a career, not mm-hmm. just a minimum wage job, but a career job. And Frederick and the other young men in the program were working with local unions to get prevailing wage benefits. And
yeah.
So Frederick and three others got into union job, one got in a non-union job, but all five of them stayed out of the criminal justice.
And this is all still in the pilot program stage of things, right?
Yeah, we didn't have nearly as many bells and whistles that we got at the Deer Center today. The Deer Center is way nicer than what we had. But it was 100% successful. And, you know, to finish that story, though, the judge and the state's attorney finally signed off on it. They let him out pre-trial to get him in the program to see how he'd do for a little bit.
Yeah.
And once he started thriving and doing well, then the, you know, state's attorney and the judge said, yeah, we want to give him a shot. And here he is today, you know, 10 years later, nobody, really, truly nobody who knows Frederick well could ever argue that our community would have been better off with him in jail. He's made our community safer these last 10 years. He's mentoring young kids in the neighborhood. He's helping them get off the streets. He can relate to where they're at,
yeah.
Right? And I'll let him talk about all the great stuff he's done, but
yeah.
He's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, tell us more about that success story, Frederick, and specifically the elements of this program that you feel were most helpful for you.
The element of this program that was most helpful for me was, you know, having stable housing, have reliable transportation, and then even, you know, getting picked back into schools while, you know, I can learn soft skills and hard skills, build up my resume, learn financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those was all the essential parts that basically I needed.
Stable housing and a car, you know, things that a lot of us take for granted, don't you think, Frederick?
Most definitely.
Talk about the importance of those details, especially for you back then. I mean, just getting to work, right?
Yeah. So when I came home, you know, I was basically back on the couch at my mom's house. And yeah, that was no good. Basically, you know, I didn't have a room to put my things. I didn't have, you know, a bed to sleep on. You know, I'd be waked up at all type of the night just from people moving around or people, you know, just, you know, coming into the living room or coming in and out the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had my, you know, own place with Cliff, with the MAC house. And basically, yeah, that just changed the trajectory of everything. You know, like I had a room that I can literally, like, my room was the size of my mom's living room.
Mm-hmm.
So it was different. You know, I had my own bed. I was able to, you know, go out and find a job. I was able to make my own money. And then on top of that, you know, I was learning how to pay my own bills. I was learning how to keep up with the bills. Yeah. I was learning how to budget, you know, how to make sure I had the money. So it was just learning all things.
Yes. Around. All necessary things.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Talk more about the relationships you built while there and going through the program with the five gentlemen, Frederick.
So the relationship we built was basically like a brotherhood, you know.
Really?
Yeah, you know, we was learning more about each other. You know, we was helping each other stay on the right path. We was encouraging each other, you know, when things got hard or, you know, when, you know, someone was going through, you know, a tough time, you know, even with, you know, a girlfriend or, you know, a family member. You know, we was there to support each other.
Yeah.
You know,
when
to push
you,
each other along.
The more you learned about them, did it start to sound like you had a lot in common?
Most definitely. I mean, we had everything in common. We came from the same neighborhood. We all had the same goals. Most of us had the same story.
Yeah. So. Talk more about that from your perspective, Cliff, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll look at it from maybe the criminal justice reform efforts that we're trying to lead at the Legal Center. You know, I grew up in a suburb of Chicago, Lake Zurich, and did not have the knowledge or the experience that I have today now living in North Lawndale for almost the last 16 years and being close to people like Frederick. And what I saw really quickly, time and time again, is that we're taking young people who are growing up in survival mode that, you know, have hard lives. And oftentimes our criminal justice system responds with two things. It's incarceration and permanent criminal records. Mm-hmm. And both of those things make a hard life harder. They don't actually change anything that's going on in the young person's life. It doesn't get to understand, like, the why behind the what. Like, what's going on in Frederick's life? What's going on in other people's lives? And having that holistic approach of truly understanding who, what, and why things happen,
mm-hmm.
and giving an opportunity for young people to repair harm to the community, but also for the community to come around them and say, hey, listen, we're going to support you. And so, you know, we're big champions of keeping young people in our community with supports instead of going to prison and having permanent records. And the thing, Deer Center is an example, I think, for the nation, honestly, to how to keep young men, 18 to 25, and one day young women too,
yeah.
In community with supports that will actually make our community safer, everyone safer, right? It's good for Frederick. It's good for the young people, of course, but it's actually good for victims. It's good for the community as a whole.
So you're mentioning Deer Center there. That's the location of the new headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah. For Lawndale Christian Legal Center. Tell us more about this expansion.
Yeah. So it's named after our beloved community leader, a local commissioner. He was our senior vice president of the Lawndale Christian Legal Center, Dr. Dennis Deer.
Okay.
So it's an honor to carry on his legacy in this space. He was a big champion of this project. It holds all of our services. So our community holistic defense team is an integrated legal social team that works together as an attorney-client privilege team to provide representation from arrest all the way through trial, right? And that's a lawyer, a case manager, and street outreach worker working together to basically address the social situations and issues that are going on that are oftentimes the drivers of why they're on the streets and getting involved in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to do, and we do provide some of the best legal representation in the city of Chicago from arrest through trial.
Yeah.
At the
and that's
same
some of the
time,
way that you break that cycle that you just described.
Yeah, we want to walk our young people through this system and away from it, right? Never to return to it again. But to do that, you have to address the things that Frederick had shared about his life, right? He had a lot of trauma growing up. He had unstable housing. His family was growing up in poverty. And so they didn't have the things that we all take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't address that, well, of course they're going to catch another case, and of course they're going to come back. All we've done is given them a felony record and some jail time. What did we do,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, you know, that's what our vision and mission is really, is to build out this new system for young people under 26 years old. So juvenile 1700, juvenile court 18, 25, and adult court, where we're keeping them in community, but not necessarily in the same situation they were, but with new supports that really can help them realize their full potential.
Frederick, Cliff mentioned earlier, you run a boxing program now. So I want you to tell us more about it. How does it work?
So the boxing program called Boss Boxing Club was better, was basically used boxing as a catalyst towards mental health. So BOSS basically stands for Better Opportunity Supportive Services, which is what we're trying to provide to youth. And a lot of the times, you know, like with my situation, growing up, I didn't know that I was dealing with a traumatizing situation. I actually thought it was just a normal way for a child to grow up because, you know, I seen so many kids in the neighborhood growing up just like I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I got older, I realized, you know, this is not a normal way for a child to grow up. And as I got older, I realized I was dealing with a traumatizing experience, which basically led me to getting in trouble and to meeting Cliff, you know, when I was 15. And if I would have known, like, you know, I had somebody in my corner to help me process these traumatizing experiences or to help me process, you know, the mental things that was going on in my head, I probably would have never gotten in trouble. You know, I probably would have lived a different life or, you know, I would have had a different direction. So that's all, you know, we're trying to provide this mentorship through boxing, mental health services through boxing.
Yeah, but this connection happened for a reason, right?
Yes.
Better late than never.
Most definitely.
In this case. When you look at the young ones that you're working with now in your program, I mean, do you see some of, like, your old ways in some of the kids or the potential for it to go in that way? Like, are you able to look at things differently now that you're sort of on the other side, Frederick?
Well, I mean, I look at things a lot differently, but I also see, you know, that a lot of the kids, you know, in the neighborhood need help, especially from the neighborhood that I'm from.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're bad kids. It's just they have no guidance. And it's the same thing with the parents, you know. It's kids having kids, you know, 16 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old. They don't know how to, you know, be effective parents. You know, they're trying to work jobs and make money and also, you know, raise their kids at the same time. It's hard. So, you know, we're just trying to provide the village to the child and provide a village to the same parent. You know, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all we're trying to provide is that village, a little guidance, a little mentorship, mental health service.
It's a lot of work, but I'm glad you're taking it on. One kid at a time, right?
Most definitely.
That's all you can do. So initially, Cliff, you had 5 people. Now you're going to have 20 in this program. What does that feel like to expand in this way?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, honestly, I mentioned that in the pilot, we didn't have many bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And now we've got, you know, we built a whole center designed around this, right? So we had architectural control, if you will.
And it's a really control. That's great.
It's a nice space. You know, I mean, it was done with intentionality. It's a, you know, single occupancy unit. There's kitchenettes, private bath. There's a lounge with laundry on each floor. You know, it's almost like a college experience. You know, the living space is about the size of a dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
But there's bigger suites at the corner for like an RA. If somebody's been through the program, can stay and mentor the younger one through. So,
and aside from these 20, I want to be clear, you're still going to be helping hundreds of other people
Correct.
At the center.
Yes, this is our headquarters. We serve minors and emerging adults. And yes, we're serving north of 300 every year. And so this will just be in addition to that. In our office wing, we have 20 units of housing on site with a commercial kitchen, a gym, a dining hall, a tech lab, mental health therapy rooms, all on site.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and we have
wonderful.
3 community partners on site with us too. NLEN is our workforce development partner. IM Able is our mental health partner, and Association of Chicago is our culinary partner in our commercial kitchen.
Yeah. And so now you're looking to get those 20.
Yeah, we've
inside.
Got 3 in. We've got okay. more on the way. Yeah. We've already got 3 living there.
Well, wishing you the best of luck. That's Cliff Nellis, who's the CEO and founder of Lawndale Christian Legal Center, and Frederick Dennis, who went through the original pilot program back in 2015 and now works at Lawndale Christian Legal Center as well. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. To hear more, find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.